now, if you're heading back to the office today after a week on the couch, you might be contemplating your choices, assessing life, and trying to figure out a way to stay home for longer. Well, the government is setting up an interdepartmental group to develop guidelines for employees and employers on remote working. It comes as research by the government found that 44% of workers saw greater flexibility as a primary motivator for working remotely. Alan Hickey is on the line. He's an associate director of Peninsula Ireland, an employment expert as well. Alan, good morning.
Good morning, Gavin.
Thanks for joining us this morning. Are you surprised by that finding, first of all, or is this what you're encountering as well, that when people come to you looking for help, that they want this flexibility, they want to be able to work from home more often?
That's absolutely what we're encountering here as well, is most employees now, or most employers anyway, are encountering requests for flexible working, for remote working, for flexible working hours, you know, condensed working hours where you're working a four-day week or that you work from home. There's all sorts of requests coming up in terms of this concept of workplace flexibility. So it's certainly gathering momentum. And in the last 12 months as well, there's a new EU directive on work-life balance. So there's a big focus on employment flexibility at the moment.
We've also seen here in Clare a little springing up of employment hubs, or enterprise hubs might be the better term, in areas including Milton Malbay and in Fecal, and one opened recently in Innisfilen as well. Hot desk facilities, people can work remotely, have access to phone lines, have access to high speed internet. So there's a demand for this locally, it seems, but are employers really that willing to put it in place?
Well, I find that the larger employers are, that they are taking this into consideration as a way of attracting talent and retaining talent. And for smaller companies, it may not be as practical, and in certain industries, it's not possible to have, for example, remote working. Like, to give a very obvious example, you couldn't be a nurse caring in a hospital ward whilst working from home.
Sure.
But different industries then can look at different things rather than remote working. They're looking at things like the condensed working hours or a four-day week and things like this. And I guess from an economy perspective, there's a lot of benefits to it in terms of, you know, reducing traffic on the roads, the impact to the environment in terms of, of less traffic on the roads. And also remote working can help kind of re-energise the local environments and the rural areas.
But do you encounter an opposition, even from those who can put it in place? Do they trust their workforce, basically, to do the job while they're not under their noses?
Well, there is an absolute massive concern with that from employers. Now, the one thing I would say is that shouldn't necessarily derail you from introducing these concepts, because, you know, you can have a performance concern when someone's in your office, as well as you can have a performance concern with somebody working from home. You just have to manage that. So I guess employers are going to need guidance on how to manage remote workers. And one of the other concerns, and even you mentioned with the hot desk concept there as well, is the health and safety implications of somebody working from home. Because if someone works from home, that's their place of work. And if it's your place of work, the employer is responsible for providing a safe working environment, even if it's in your own home. So there's going to be a concern for employers there in terms of, you know, how safe is the environment at home? Are you going to be walking around, drinking a cup of coffee whilst the dog's walking around your feet and falling over? And where does liability lie there?
If you trip over the child's toys, suing your boss.
Yes, exactly.
But understandably, when we talk about what happens in the insurance sector, it's not unreasonable that these concerns would be to the fore. I suppose, though, there is this movement, and everybody's acknowledged that how much of a factor, how much bigger can it get, though, Alan, do you think, in 2020, even in the years to come?
In terms of the
number of people who will be working remotely, working from home?
I think it's going to keep on increasing. And there's, I guess you mentioned about people working from home and productivity and concerns around that. You know, there has been some evidence from the likes of Microsoft where people working from home has actually increased productivity by 40%. So that's going to attract employers, for one thing. And then employees are going to want it more and more. According as, you know, there's a big push in terms of closing gender pay gap, the ability to work from home actually helps with that because it reduces the cost of childcare and the burden of childcare as well. So there's a lot of positives around doing it in terms of employers and employees. So I think it's going to keep on growing. But employers just need to be conscious of the health and safety implications, and also in terms of the working time implications of people maybe logging on at 11 o'clock at night and sending the odd email because they had a bit of flexibility during the working day. And how does that a tally with the working time rules. And then the last thing then as well is that it's going to require, no doubt, a considerable investment from the state in terms of the broadband infrastructure as well. And that's something that needs to be looked at before, you know, it's going to work effectively in a lot of particularly rural areas of the country.
In terms of the jobs market generally, what are you expecting for the year ahead? Is it a good time for people who are looking to change careers, looking to change jobs?
It's certainly at the moment, because we're at full employment, or as close to full employment as we can get, it's certainly a candidate's market. And we're finding that a lot of employers are encountering a lot of job hopping, so that people are tending to stay in jobs for a year to 2 years maximum, and then are looking to move on. And when you're at full employment, there's a lot more job opportunities out there. So I'm certainly expecting that to continue. But the big question mark that's over that is Brexit, obviously. Mm. And notably, in 2019, we ourselves encountered a 70% increase in redundancy queries compared to 2018. So that's a bit of a concern. So we'll have to see how that plays out, particularly after Brexit eventually happens.
Okay, that's an interesting factor. I mean, I know Ben tells me yourselves in Peninsula, you're moving into a new premises. So obviously you're hoping for a busy year to come. What advice would you give for people listening this morning, be they employees or indeed employers, if they're looking for something different in 2020, how can they ensure that it is they that are successful in getting the candidate they want or the job that they want?
Well, one thing that I find is that when employees are looking to move, they almost commit to it and then think, I'll take the first job that's offered to me. So one thing I would suggest to employees is to take your time in terms of finding a new role and make sure that the role that you're finding is the right role for you. And from an employer's perspective, I'm finding in terms of recruitment, again, that there's almost always this push to get bums on seats and fill a role just to fill it, without taking your time to get the right person for a role. So the one thing I would advise to both employers and employees is to take your time in the recruitment process and make sure that the filling the position in question is right for you, and not just, you know, the first option that comes along. So that's a big thing from my own perspective.
The texter's asking if this is really a good time of the year to go looking for a new job. He says, sure, everybody is doing the same thing, New Year's resolutions and all that. There's a stiffer competition.
Well, there's people have been looking for jobs every month at almost record numbers over the last 12 months. So I'm not sure that I'm not sure that moving to January 2020 is going to make much of a difference in
Fair
terms
enough.
Of that. But it's a fair point. And the one thing I would suggest is, you know, job stability is very important. And, you know, the national wage has been increased to €10 from February. And I already have a question mark over that in light of Brexit looming and also the increase of redundancy queries we've received. So maybe just appreciating job stability is important for employees as well at the moment, and see how things play out.
The grass isn't always greener on the other side. Alan Hickey of Peninsula Ireland, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Kevin.
All the very best. Do take care. On the comments this morning, Sean is in Shannon. He tells me he notices that